Hi. Nice to see everyone. Nice to be here again. Been a few times to Cambridge Insight, and I always have a really great time here. The Sangha is wonderful. So I thought we'd start tonight by just getting real with the difficult. And what that means is looking at it right here, right now, as it is in you. So I'm going to invite you into a contemplative practice, a little bit of self-inquiry to start with, and moving into being with the difficult right here, right now. Not somewhere else, not out there, not in the news, but right here. And you ready? You willing? Okay. You came. So that's a good sign. Okay. All right. So we're just going to take a moment to just close our eyes and go within. And just notice our present state, just as it is. Not as we want it to be. Not as we think it might be. But actually going within as we are here and now. And to do that, we're going to actually come down from our thinking mind into the feeling body, your body on the cushion. Your body breathing. Your body feeling the air on your skin. And just noticing if there is residue of feeling in this body. Residue of something that happened today. A hiccup at work. A moment of fear or anxiety. Tension or stress from the day. Sadness or grief. Irritation. Noticing what feeling residue is here now in this body mind, just as you are. There might be a story that's coming back with a residue of that which happened, the difficult encounter, or something you heard on the radio, or the driver that cut you off. Or something interpersonal that was a little rough. or just a mood that passed through you. Letting that residue be present, make room for your feeling. Where does it live, this feeling residue? Where do you feel it in your body? Can you make room for this feeling? Can you just bear witness? Without judging, can you welcome this feeling? What gets in the way of the welcome? What would happen if you invited this feeling residue for tea? So we all just thank you for willingly sitting with the difficult. It's not what we usually do. Particularly when we're on the cushion. I think many of us turn to practice, to meditation, I certainly did early on, to find a way out of suffering, to transcend, to move beyond, to find a state of peace away from the difficult. And we have trouble tolerating the difficult out there. I mean, the conditions. But we have an even harder time tolerating the difficult in here. Maybe as you just experienced, you know, the tendency to struggle, the resistance to what we feel. So I'm curious what that was like just now to sit and feel it in your body, a residue, this kind of subtle unease that we carry at the end of almost every day and often completely pressed down. But when we ask about it, when we ask, inquire, it comes up pretty quickly. Oh yeah, there was that moment when I had that encounter. Still kind of with us. The karma's still kind of here, you know. So for me today, I was doing the practice with you just now. I was recalling an interaction that I'd had with someone. I had an interaction. And there was just this very slight not quite aligned in our communication, a very subtle kind of unease or dis-ease, connected maybe to two different expectations not quite meeting, completely unvoiced, but still stirring up, you know, the feeling of kind of like a subtle, slight tension. Interpersonal tension. And as soon as I asked, what's here, that rose right up for me. That was mine. So what was it like just now to sit with that in your body and to host? Could you do it, or was it like, this sucks? I came for a meditation instruction. I came to be peaceful. So why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Taking adversity as a path, how the difficult can free you. That's a very counterintuitive idea, that adversity can be the path. Adversity, by its very definition, is that which we wish to avoid. The difficult, by its very definition, is that which we wish to avoid. But the difficult triggers us. That's really why we don't like it. There's nothing inherent in any condition that is difficult. But we don't like how we feel in the presence of the difficult. And that's the real issue,
isn't it? So there's no hope for transforming the difficult or for transforming our own suffering if we can't learn to really be with it. So this little exercise was just a window, just a beginning of noticing how challenging it is just to be with the truth of what we feel, just that alone, just to be with that. And the thing is, if we aren't able to be with that, any kind of metabolizing of our emotional states, any kind of transformation is not going to happen. So there's actually a tradition in the corner of a Buddhism in which I practice, which is the Tibetan tradition. There's a tradition called heart cultivation, the heart cultivation tradition, the Lojong tradition, in which all of the practices are about embracing the difficult as a way of moving towards that which we would most want to avoid, as a way of unearthing our deepest sources of suffering. Unearthing, we could say, mining down to our most fundamental aversions, attachments, our more complex emotions of envy, our fears, and our grief, our sufferings, and our sadnesses, to actually stimulate those, invite those, as a way of working through and finding freedom within those very states. But even to start to do any kind of a practice like that, the very first thing we do is learn to be present with, to be present with the difficult, in a very real way in ourselves. You know, we have a tendency to externalize, well, the world is difficult and the politics are difficult. It's true, right? All of this has a kind of truth to it. Our systems of oppression are difficult. There's a truth to all of that. But there's also a truth to what it's doing in here. And on that level, contemplative practice is very fundamental, very helpful. I spent a lot of my early years in my 20s and 30s in strict, cloistered, silent retreat, doing lots and lots of meditation practice. And for many of those years, I really felt like the way to master the Dharma, to master practice, was to find inner peace, right? You heard this before, right? Inner peace. And that somehow the practice was about conquering the difficult, conquering the emotions and the kleshas, you know, conquering our anger, conquering fear. And then I went into long retreat with this very strong motivation, having experienced a lot of suffering I lost my mother and had lost someone who I thought I would marry, and I lost my grandmother, and just felt like there was only one way to deal with this, and that was to find inner peace. Because the pain is just too, it was just too much. And I think many people that I meet now come to Buddhism, come to meditation with some version of that. The pain of life is just too much. And how can I transcend that? How can I get away from it? And in my own case, I spent years meditating around those feelings. That makes sense? Like some of you are saying, what is this? Meditation is watching the breath, someone mentioned, right? This sounds like psychotherapy, right? Meditation is watching the breath. So we're learning to be with the breath. In order to stay with the breath, we have to keep pushing down those feelings because they're going to get in the way, right? They're going to distract us. My anger is a distraction. My fear is a distraction. You know, I meditated a long time like that. My desire, it's a distraction. I have to turn my mind back to the breath. You know, various versions of that, versions of that. But here's the thing. You can do that for years and years and years, and your anger and your fear and your attachment isn't going to go anywhere. Isn't going to go anywhere. Unless you find a way to sit with it, to really sit with it, not sit with it by meditating around it, but actually sit with yourself just as you are. And so I used to think that meditation was a practice of finding inner peace, and now I actually think meditation is a practice of radically tolerating yourself. And to do that, you actually have to be able to sit with yourself in any state and host, to really host. And there's a great payoff in that. We started to hear a little bit of the payoff, even in the room tonight. Because some of you have been doing this already. Oh, undoubtedly. Especially you therapists and those of you in therapy. Some of that is therapy is sitting with yourself, radically tolerating yourself as you are. If you're a therapist, you do that for other people and with other people. But one thing that happens when you start to radically tolerate yourself and actually turn the attention there rather than towards the breath, maybe for a little while or once in a while when you sit on the cushion, doesn't mean that you don't have a focused meditation, that you don't have a shamatha practice, that you don't have a concentration practice. But if you don't have a practice of sitting with what is true, of being real with how you feel, when you sit down, even if that means how I feel is I don't want to sit here on the cushion and I hate meditation practice. I'm so tired of it. I'm so bored. You have to learn how to sit with that, you know? That's a feeling. That's a strong feeling of aversion that we can develop to our practice. What happens when we sit with that? So some of that started to come into the room tonight a little bit. We might hear it in a different way. Actually, sitting with how you feel is an act of deep listening. When you listen deeply to the feeling, it will start to show you some things that you didn't see before. It might be, it shows you that it's old. Most of the feelings that we have are not new. They're old. We have a new story about it. We have a new story about why we're angry. We have a justification. But if we're really honest, we look back. Oh, a year ago, I had the same feeling. I had the same anger. But I had a different story and a different justification. It's the same feeling. Same inner constellation. So it could show us that it's really old. Not so new. Maybe not so justified. Not so right. And sitting with the difficult in us, just as it's manifesting right now, can also show us what someone over here, what's your name? Achala saw, that the mind, the cognitive story is feeding this thing. And that some of our working through it is about relaxing the cognitive story, finding refuge in the body. And yet, these feelings live not just in the mind. That's the other truth about these feelings. Sitting with them, sitting with how the difficult is feeling in us, we can start to see they live in our nervous system, too. They're patterned here. They're patterned in the body-mind, not so much just in the mind, but also in the body-mind, that our body is carrying some of these are triggered, the parts of us that get triggered are living in our nervous system. They're living in what we call in the Tibetan tradition the subtle body, which is this layer of our physical body that is energetic, but we might say in a scientific way we'd call it the nervous system. In a Buddhist environment, you'd call it the subtle body. But that these feelings are living here too. So the difficult. Another thing about the difficult. If we didn't experience it, we couldn't know what others are going through. So there was a time, maybe 10 years ago, 8 years ago, when I was trying to have a child. And some of the people in here probably have been through that kind of experience of trying to have a child and not being able to have a child. And there was a point in that whole process when I miscarried. And if you've never miscarried, and I know many people in here have not miscarried, you wouldn't understand this. But it's like you are possessed. I felt possessed by another person, almost. I didn't recognize myself. I was in such a state of loss and grief, self-blame, self-loathing, that I felt as if I was possessed. So those of you who maybe understand this, or you can understand it from having been through something else like this. And what came to my mind is I never knew. I had no idea. But now I do know. As miserable as I am, I finally understand what other women go through. And after that, I've had a different kind of empathy for people who go through that experience. It's a completely different level of empathy than before I had that experience. So this is true for everyone in this room. We've all been through the ringer in various ways. We've all been through really painful experiences of loss and grief, experiences of intense fear. And those experiences are not without their usefulness from the point of view of developing true compassion for others who have been through or who are going through something similar. So it's possible, if you really take on a practice of working with the difficult in your own life, to grab every moment of suffering as an opportunity in that way. So that as you're feeling fear, this is how others feel. Now I understand. Now I get it. Or as you're feeling sorrow, oh, this is how others feel. And then taking a moment to honor what you're going through, honor this feeling, have gratitude for it, because it's showing you something about human life, human suffering, and connecting you to others. You know, I hope enlightenment is not about just peace. It shouldn't be. It's also about compassion and about empathy. So if we don't have the difficult, there's no way we're going to be able to feel compassion for other people that are going through something similar. So the difficult has many gifts. And in fact, you know, if everything's hunky-dory and our life is great, that's good. It's good. It's not a problem. But ultimately, if that's all it is, we're never going to be able to have compassion. Also, we're never going to get beyond or really work through, really utilize whatever state that we're in to move forward on our spiritual path. We're just not going to be able to do it. We'll be overtaken by the difficult when it arises. And from one perspective, all we have is here and now. All we have is that. Why don't we just take a moment to dedicate, which is just the intention, bringing to mind the intention to pay forward our practice for the benefit of others. And maybe an intention that came out of the teaching, if there is one for you, to develop kindness to our feelings and to the difficult. To see what that's like.
Thank you so much. So delightful to be with you this evening. Thank you.